we've moved from security to loss prevention to asset protection. And the way I view the industry now is we're now at what's known as the enterprise security risk management phase, where loss prevention and asset protection is one of the few areas of business who has probably the largest operational or tactical impact to the entire business.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and our guest today is my colleague and my friend, David Johnston, NRF's Vice President of Asset Protection and Retail Operations. We're going to talk to David about his role at NRF, current priorities and challenges in the retail loss prevention and asset protection community, and what's to come at NRF Protect, NRF's LP and cyber risk event taking place this June. So David Johnston, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thanks, Bill. Happy to be here.
Well, we're really excited to talk to you about this subject because it is so important and more people are focused on this, I believe, today than have been in a very, very long time. And I'm not just talking about people in the business. I'm talking about, you know, people that in law enforcement, people that have been seeing videos and have been reading and hearing about it on news. So it's very, very timely, and I'm glad that we're going to be able to kind of explore this. So, but before we get into that, let's tell our listeners a little bit more about David Johnston, your career journey, and how you got to the NRF.
I probably followed a path similar to many who are in the asset protection and loss prevention world, being that, you know, we never really went to school or grew up saying, hey, we're going to fall and become loss prevention professionals. You know, my career path is coming out of college, was looking at law enforcement and took a part-time job as a store detective in a department store and became fascinated with catching shoplifters and really getting to understand the retail environment. And from there, given an opportunity to get into the public sector and law enforcement full-time, I chose the path of remaining in the private security world and built my career up from store detective to investigator to a regional investigator with a multi-brand national retailer, being able to learn the retail business as well as to, you know, really start at that period of time, Bill, it moved from truly from security to loss prevention, where we were focusing on being able to really protect the profitability of the retail environments. And then the career took an interesting twist. I was with an organization who had about 3,000 retail locations, five brands, and our senior vice president of loss prevention, through a relationship with a solution provider in data analytics, presented to our CEO and our board of directors, shifting their loss prevention department from an internal department to an actual outsourced loss prevention program. And the company that was created was LP Innovations, which still exists today. And so we went from one day being an internal loss prevention department to all of a sudden growing and developing a small business of loss prevention consulting and outsourcing, supporting other retailers. And for the next 15 years, I moved from practitioner to solution provider and was able to learn a little bit more about business. You know, I had roles in business development, marketing, consulting, and so forth. So it was really an interesting turn that allowed me to remain in the loss prevention environment, but doing so from the solution provider and the business development perspective. And I held those roles until about 2014, when I was given an opportunity to lead the Dunkin' Brands global loss prevention and security program. And I took that opportunity and went back into the practitioner side of the business, but from a global perspective. And that was extremely interesting. And I'm appreciative of all the learnings I had on the business side, because that's truly what I was doing on the Dunkin' side, is 100% franchised environment it was my responsibility to serve more as a consultant to our franchisees without that direct control and being able to lead them in, you know, the value of loss prevention and the importance of building an LP program within their own organizations to help benefit the franchisor. And then for 8 years, I worked with Dunkin' Brands, and then when they were acquired by Inspire Brands, until given the opportunity this past November to become the VP of LP and retail operations with the NRF, which I am extremely excited and pleased to be part of and looking forward to the future here with NRF.
Well, the opportunities are limitless, as you know. What excites you most about the opportunity at NRF in leading this community?
As I grew up in this industry, and, you know, I'm over 30 years in retail loss prevention. So my entire career, even going before getting into loss prevention, my first job was selling athletic shoes and sneakers at a retailer. So I've always been involved in the retail industry. And growing up in the loss prevention world, the NRF was always that conference you wanted to attend or the association you wanted to affiliate yourself with. And, you know, I remember it was 1998 where I spoke at my first NRF loss prevention conference, and I was scared.
1998
was the first time I spoke at an NRF conference, and it was about, you know, exception-based reporting, which was new in 1998. You know, now it's a standard element of a loss prevention program. But just being there and being present, and the individuals who represented the NRF, whether they be the practitioners or the association itself, it's always been something I've been interested in. And then my movement to Dunkin' Brands, I was invited to join the LP Council.
Oh,
and again, that was another great learning experience to be part of a council with so many great practitioners and leaders and continue to develop. So I've been able to experience the NRF from a practitioner standpoint. I've been able to experience it as a solution provider because I went to NRF conferences on the expo floor carpet. And now having the opportunity to experience it from this leadership position, it's an honor being able to service our members and advocate for their needs. And as you had mentioned, the industry changes at a rapid rate today. The profession has changed greatly since COVID. And it's just exciting to see where we're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about, you know, change, the pace of change in retail. And one area I have to believe that has grown exponentially is the area of asset protection and loss prevention. I think back to when I was at Walmart and I had the opportunity during the summers, I would take time a couple weeks to work in stores, the different formats, and just spend time in the different areas of the stores. And my favorite time was spending time with the loss prevention guys and just watching how they worked and the impact that work was having and how it was done in a way that didn't disrupt. I was just mesmerized with everything that was going on around me. And I think about the technology that was up in that booth at the front of the store. I can't imagine what the technology is like today. I mean, how do you stay on top of that? It just seems to me that it's moving so quickly and controversially. I mean, you think about, you know, facial recognition and things of that sort and privacy concerns and all of that. How does the community address that in a way that gives people confidence that you guys, all you are concerned about is protecting the consumer and protecting the brand, not, you know, doing something nefarious?
Yeah, you know, the role of loss prevention, asset protection, you know, has changed rapidly in the last 5 years, even more so in the last 3 years since COVID. You know, I'm old enough to remember when EAS systems and tagging were introduced into retail and how that impacted, you know, the thought of the impact of the customer experience and people won't shop. And as you had mentioned, you know, we've gone from there to now some of the challenges as well as the capabilities of technologies like facial recognition and self-serving lock and keys and things of that nature. And really what it's come to is the rapid change of theft and loss. You know, we've moved from security to loss prevention to asset protection. And the way I view the industry now is we're now at that, what's known as the enterprise security risk management phase, where loss prevention and asset protection is one of the few areas of the business who has probably the largest operational or tactical impact to the entire business. You know, it's at the physical locations, at the supply chain, it's in the digital and e-commerce side. You know, now we're getting into a lot of the political and the cultural, you know, with the civil unrest and even it come COVID. And for myself being a practitioner at that time, I was the one called upon by our leadership team to handle the COVID response, as many of my peers were. So now it's environmental health and safety. And so it becomes one of those departments that very quietly in the background is working diligently and across the entire organization. And yet the impact can be seen very visibly, you know, to the entire organization.
Yeah. And it just doesn't, I mean, you think about it, people just don't really equate all of that. I mean, in terms of the importance of us in the business, we that live this and breathe this every single day, we recognize it. But I don't think it's a bad thing that when people think about retail, that at the top of their list of things they think about, asset protection really doesn't line up, because what you want to make sure is that people feel safe and people feel like they can go into the store and have a good experience, and that, you know, asset protection should be in the background in terms of the activity there in the store. But in fact, it is everywhere. People just don't realize it. And that's not a bad thing.
Well, you know, and what's happening today is pushing that visibility up front now.
Yeah, you have to.
It absolutely has to happen, because as you said, you know, in the past we were working quietly in the background, and you know, people would talk about theft and shoplifting and employee theft and things of that nature, but you know, it's still okay, we've got it covered, we're taking care of it. But now today we're starting to see, you know, the thefts are more brazen, more open. It's happening. It's on mainstream media. It's even being discussed, you know, with retailers now talking about shrink and loss in earnings reports and mainstream media.
The impact on the bottom line.
It's becoming a real impact to the bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, and that's why I said at the beginning of the program, I mean, there's more awareness today than I think there ever has been about the impact of what asset protection and loss prevention means to these brands and to the bottom line. The National Retail Federation, in collaboration with K2 Integrity, just released a report on organized retail crime. Could you tell us what that report basically said and the impact that it's having on the industry?
Yeah, we just published the K2 in conjunction with K2 Integrity. We published our report on organized retail crime. And what this report brings to, you know, not only to our industry, but also to mainstream media and the public, is a real understanding of what organized retail crime is. And the value and the importance to that is because, you know, a lot of people look at organized retail crime and it's misunderstood or misstated as just an increase in shoplifting. And that is not what organized retail crime is. Yes, in fact, the act of shoplifting is the genesis of that, or at least the act of shoplifting is the stealing of merchandise from the retailers. But what we're seeing today compared to what we've seen in the past is, you know, shoplifting is now a business.
Yes.
And they're using shoplifters and boosters, you know, these organized retail groups that are very structured, very sophisticated, are using these shoplifters to generate business opportunity. And the K2 report really highlights the structure of these organizations, how they operate, what's necessary in order to properly investigate them. And even, you know, what I find important is they mention the gaps and the opportunities that exist today that will help us to overcome this issue in the future, which, you know, starts with legislation. It starts with legislation at the federal level. It starts with legislation at the, you know, state and local levels, and also requires partnership between law enforcement, prosecutors, legislators, and the retail community.
Well, and you said it perfectly. I mean, it is multi-tiered, starting with federal, state, municipal, county, you name it. They've all got to work, you know, collectively, collaboratively to address this problem. It's not going to solve itself. And if anything, it's only going to get worse if we don't engage and aggressively pursue solutions to something that seems to just be getting worse and worse. And everybody, you know, the amazing thing is that these people now, I guess, thanks to social media, maybe not thanks to social media, you know, they've seen it. And it's just, it's jarring, to say the least. And I told somebody the other day, I was at my local CVS. Three guys ran out with buckets full of stuff. I don't know what they had in it, but they just quick walked out and everybody just stood there and watched them. It was unbelievable. And it's just, you know, it is the nature of the beast. And we live in an urban environment, but it's not an urban problem per se. It is a much broader problem than that.
It is. It's a national problem. And that's where, you know, the focus has to start nationally and then drive its way down into the communities and the states, you know, in coordination and collaboration. Because, you know, what we are seeing in the media today is disheartening.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, again, it's not just a property loss or theft of merchandise. You know, what we're seeing now is, you know, the violence, the aggression, the, you know, we have retailers who have experienced death of associates by the hands of shoplifters. And those aren't shoplifters who are opportunistic or amateur or doing for personal need or consumption. These are shoplifters who are doing this for profit. And that's where we have to tackle this differently.
Well, you'll be back, David. But I got one more question for you. What is the best career advice you've ever gotten?
I'd have to say, from a career perspective, it's nobody is going to help you become a better person other than yourself. So from a career development perspective, take the initiative. You know, I am a constant learner. Personal note, I'll be graduating in 3 weeks with my master's degree at 55 years old. I decided to go to obtain my master's. And I think that's, you know, and part of that is because of the changing industry and profession of global security. So I think that, you know, constant learning is important, especially in a rapidly changing environment. And then the second piece would be, you know, it doesn't matter what you accomplish. It doesn't matter, you know, the titles and the positions you've been in. It's all about the person you are and the people you get to meet and how you help others.
Yep.
So, you know, I believe in servant leadership, and, you know, I look at this role with the NRF as being one of servant leadership. And I look forward to achieving many great things through our membership in our industry.
That's a fantastic answer. David, we have a conference coming up. It's Protect. It's where we bring and convene all of the asset protection, loss prevention folks from the industry, every category you can imagine, brands large and small. Give us a little bit of a preview of that and what we're excited about.
Yeah, very excited about Protect this year, happening, you know, June 5th through 7th at the Gaylord Texan in Dallas, Texas. We've got a great agenda lined up. We're tackling the issues of today. You know, we're talking organized retail crime. We're talking workplace violence. We're talking, you know, online digital fraud, cybersecurity threats, you know, and really looking at it from a global perspective, because, you know, the world is shrinking and retail is global. So not only are we looking at everything from a U.S. perspective, you know, I'll tell you, we have attendees right now from 8 different countries outside the U.S. So this is a great conference to support international networking and opportunities. And we've got some great speakers, the deputy director of CISA, Gavin DeBecker and Associates, who are workplace violence and personal protection experts, as well as many of our retail membership folks speaking throughout the conference.
I think it's fantastic. And I think you aren't giving yourself enough credit. I believe that a lot of the response that we've gotten has really come as a result of somebody in the leadership position that has the admiration and respect from his peers and want to attend, want to support, and want to be a part of the solution. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
David, it has been a real pleasure talking with you. As I have said, this is part one of many conversations I believe that we're going to have, because loss prevention, asset protection, these issues are always going to be here for our industry. They're incredibly important, and it's very important that we talk about them, that we bring light to them, and that we work collectively to address them. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. And don't forget, join us this June for NRF Protect at the Gaylord Texan Resort. You can find more information at nrf.com. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real. Thank you for listening.